Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Steve,
there's a Golden Girls Museum.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well,
or no, not a museum, an art installation.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have those all the time in like LA, like pop art installations.
It's all Golden Girls stuff.
I'm surprised at the amount of women over the age of 30 who are obsessed with Golden Girls.
Well, thank you for being a friend.
I mean, I'm not talking like older, like in their 50s at this point. I'm talking like our age, like between 30 and 40,
yeah,
who are obsessed. Yeah.
When I also say, I watched Golden Girls.
I watched Golden Girls too. It's where I learned about sex for the first time.
I like Golden Girls.
Through
Man Hungry Mona.
No, that's not. That's Who's the Boss.
Ah, fuck.
You're thinking Blanche.
Blanche.
Hey, Blanche, who are you going to sleep with tonight? Everybody.
That's right. Mona.
Angela. All right. So I'm sorry to start off this cast on a sad note, but I told Steve that someone very famous had just died. I shouldn't say just died, but we just found out about it this morning. One of Steve's favorite actors, Bill Paxton, has passed away.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Hudson, right? Hudson from Aliens.
Game over, man.
Game over.
Oh,
why
was he
don't
sick?
We just put her in charge?
He wasn't super old. Was he sick?
He was 61. I don't know, but I'm sure he did a lot of cocaine.
That's true.
Always when someone dies before like the age of 70 in Hollywood, I assume it was because of cocaine.
Also, he was big in movies in the 80s, so
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite character actors of all time, if I had to run through a list of like top five performances, Coconut Pete and Club Dread. Love that movie. son of a bitch. Steve, can you guess the secret ingredient in Coconut Pete's paella?
No.
Coconut Pete's paella.
It's coconut.
son of a bitch. Love that movie. Hudson, of course, from Aliens. Chet from Weird Science.
And Thug Number One from Terminator.
Yes, he... Bill Paxton goes down in history as being one of the few people who have been killed by an alien, a Terminator, and a what other one am I thinking of? God damn it. An alien, a Terminator, and a Predator. He was killed by a Predator as well. And also, if I had the final one was the car salesman. I can't remember his name. I think it was Harry. No, not Harry. From True Lies. Where
That's
he
right.
delivers the immortal line, "Hey man, it's the vet. Get some wet."
And there, are, and he's also in Big Love, of
Big
course.
Love, yeah.
Which I hadn't seen.
My wife loved Big Love and Twister, where he survives a tornado.
That's right. Twister
by belting himself to a pipe in the ground.
Twister, that movie's fucking awful.
Bill Paxton, a great actor, can always rely on a good Bill Paxton performance. It's a sad moment. It's a sad day, Steve. It's a sad day. If it wasn't for the Oscars tonight, I'd totally put on Club Dread. But I'm going to be watching the Oscars regardless.
Very good.
Yeah. So did you finally see John Wick 2?
I did.
What'd you think?
It was great. I loved it. I want to see John Wick 3, 4, 5, 6. I want to see all the John Wicks.
Even though it suffered from the great sequel-itis of, hey, it's the second movie. Let's go to Europe.
Still, the movie's fucking awesome. Like, it's that John Wick... Because of the way that movie is, because of what that movie is, it's going to be nearly impossible for them to make a bad one. I said nearly, because it's definitely possible, but the movie is, it needs to hit just slow beats and lots of great action.
Well,
and holy shit, like, they did a really, really good job of upping the ante from the first one.
Yeah.
There were some amazing scenes. The fight choreography was fucking great.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
I mean, that's my like big thing I loved about John Wick 2. I love the fight choreography. Some of the fighting and some of the gunplay. Some of the best things I've ever seen in my life. It's on par with the first John Wick.
Oh, yeah.
It took it to a little bit more of the extreme in this one, which I kind of liked. But the plot was god-awful, man. I know. Steve gives me a shrug on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the first... The plot of the first film was he's going to get vengeance because they killed his dog.
I Well, yeah, but it's a visceral revenge flick. It's the same thing as Death Wish or Punisher or something like that. You can appreciate this. This one was like a little bit. They tried to get a little deeper into the mythology of the John Wickiverse. John Wikipedia.
if there's a John Wick wiki out there, it better be the John Wikipedia.
Yeah. I liked some of it. Like, I liked the parts where they would go and be like, hey, let's I want to go see the sommelier, and then you take him in there, and it's the tick showing him all of the
was awesome. Yeah, he's like, all the guns. Perhaps you'd enjoy this.
Yeah. That was fun. I like the Taylor stuff. Like that part, but where you're getting a little bit more into the whole, like, I can't even explain it, but like the
shadow world,
like the shadow world, the customs and everything like that. I'm kind of like, oh, this is just highfalutin dumbness.
Yeah. But I mean, that's all of that is just window dressing for sweet fucking action scenes.
Well, yeah, and that's like, I try not to make John Wick out to be more than anything other than like one of the best action flicks
ever,
out there
ever, period. Yeah. Like when I got out of the theater, I was like, I want to fucking watch it again. Like, I want to watch that again. Holy shit. I want to watch the first one and the second one back to back in theater right now.
I mean, I can't say of all time, but it's definitely up there.
I'm hard pressed to not put it in top five action movies all time.
I'd have to really do some serious consideration. It would definitely, I think at least the first one for sure would be in the top 10. But I'd have to like really examine that. That's a bold statement for me to make.
Yeah. I mean, action movies are pretty, really good action movies are, I would say, are uncommon enough that having a top five is pretty easy.
I don't know. There's a lot of great ones from the 80s and 90s. I mean,
Commando is a fucking amazing film. Let off some steam, Bennett. But also, John Wick exists in a different world than Commando, even though both are action films.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard because, like, a lot of the action that I like also would also be considered science fiction or, fantasy. Yeah. And then, but in the 90s, you also have a lot of, like, the classic Bruckheimer movies or Face Off. Or
that's an action movie. That's me. Like when I say action genre, I'm talking movies like Face Off, Commando,
Broken Arrow, Face Off. I said Face Off.
Yeah,
the Rock.
The Rock. Welcome to the Rock.
Con Air.
Yep. Con Air. Terminal Velocity.
Okay, that movie's terrible.
Passenger 51.
57.
57. The one with Wesley Snipes.
Yes. Always Bet on Black.
And like that. That's what I consider action movies. Because they're always like regular
Air
dude.
Air Force One.
Right. Regular dude versus like criminals or terrorists or
not always just regular dude.
Military.
Sometimes he's the best of the best.
Well, yeah. But I mean, he's a human.
Yes.
He's a human being. Yeah. He's not a robot.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
That's my thing. So like
Total Recall, Command, I would have put on
Total
there.
Recall, I'd put in sci-fi.
I mean,
there's
still,
like aliens. There's a girl with three boobies.
She's a mutant. She's not an alien.
She's
Steve.
Got three boobies.
I agree, but I disagree. I still consider that movie more of an action.
I got five kids to feed. Oh man. He got screwed.
Go ahead and give the Martians air.
Give those people air. Fucking love Schwarzenegger.
Any Schwarzenegger movie made in between like Conan the Barbarian and Eraser, I'd probably put.
Did you see Maggie?
No, but a lot of people like it.
I was very surprised by it. I was like, oh, this movie's actually just good. It was weird because it wasn't good in like a Schwarzenegger way. It was just kind of a good movie. I was like, all right.
God, I want so bad for Conan the Conqueror to come out. It's the Schwarzenegger movie.
It's in production, isn't it?
They keep on talking about it. I don't think it's actually in production. I think it's in like pre-production right now. They're trying to get backers or whatever. But just to see like old ass Schwarzenegger like as Conan one more time.
King Conan? Yeah.
It's Conan the Conqueror is what they're calling it. But I would sell lots
of perfect.
It'd be perfect. Did you hear about the new Dune they're doing?
Dune?
Yeah, they're redoing Dune.
Why?
Probably because the David Lynch version.
David Lynch film is perfection.
No, Steve.
Fucking floating ass giant Harkonnen with his fucking sores and fucking Sting and that weird diaper thing. That movie's fucking perfect. There's nothing that needs to be done.
Fear is the mind killer. Fear is a little bit.
And it's got Michael McLaughlin.
Kyle McLaughlin. Kyle McLaughlin.
I was thinking of Michael McDonald and Kyle McLaughlin. And, hey, no, stopping us now.
Fear is a little death that kills us all.
I love that movie. It's so fucking weird.
It's not that great of a movie, but they're redoing it. And the guy who's directing it, Denis Villeneuve, is the guy who directed Arrival, which I just watched.
Everyone jizzed about that movie, wasn't it?
It's pretty good. Okay. It's one of those movies. It's slow science fiction. You know, you have like fast science fiction, like
Total Recall,
where you know it's like, you know, get your ass to Mars. And then he's at Mars and they're shooting people and there's taxi cabs. There's a Johnny cab and then he pulls a thing out of his
Thanks
nose.
Thanks for taking Johnny cab.
And then you have the slow science fiction. I'm talking like Star Trek 1 slow, you know, where it's just like, okay. But it's like one of the most beautiful movies I've seen.
Man, I watched Star Trek 1 recently, and like they were way too drunk on the fact that it was a film.
I think what they were trying to do is they were trying to find a balance between 2001 A Space Odyssey and Star Wars, where it was like, okay, so people are going to be in this to see the Star Wars. So we're going to start it off kind of fast-paced like Star Wars, but then the drugs will kick in, and they'll take the 20-minute trip through V'ger and enjoy the hell out of that trip.
Yeah,
so.
I liked that. That is a movie that needs to be edited heavily.
Yeah, I kind of like it the way it is. I mean, it's not perfect in any way, shape, or form, but it's for what it is, I enjoy it. Because I also, like, my science fiction needs to either be Total Recall or Star Trek 1. It needs to be either super fast-paced or it needs to be slow and navel-gazing.
Yeah.
The Arrival is in that slow navel-gazing, but it's so pretty. I mean, like, the first three shots of the movie are just like, oh, Jesus Christ. This is too pretty for... This is... Nothing should be this pretty. this pretty shot. That's why I'm saying, like, I was telling Kevin at on Comic Book Logic that I know it's not going to win Best Director, but I think Denis Villeneuve should win Best Director because this movie is gorgeous. Yeah, not Best Picture. It's not Best Picture quality, but it's definitely Best Director. So that this guy can do Dune in that same kind of like navel gazing, I'm going to take drugs and watch this movie sort of way, I will enjoy the hell out of it.
Right.
I want to.
As long as he's got Sting in a diaper, I mean,
I don't think they'll have Sting in a diaper.
Fuck.
What's his name?
Boycott. Boycott.
Fade Rautha. That's what his name is, right? That's Fade Rautha.
Pretty sure, but I mean, I always just like called him Sting
in a diaper.
So that character is now just Sting.
Yeah. It's got a what's his name? Worm Tongue's in it too. He plays the Mentat. I can't think of his name.
That guy is in a fuck ton of movies.
He's also in that weird episode of The X-Files where he like channels Scully's dead dad.
Yep, and he's the serial killer in Star Trek Voyager.
He is the serial killer. And
he was a cool character.
He was also a serial killer on Babylon 5, so.
Awesome. So, I wonder if it was the same guy. Cross-dimensional character.
Yeah, except for the fact that Voyager's terrible. So.
I think that was one of the cooler characters. I like that.
Well, yeah, that just goes to show you how bad Star Trek Voyager is.
I gotta disagree, bro. It was good stuff.
You like Tuvix.
I like Tuvix. Tuvix is fucking awesome. Tuvix is a character that I wanted more episodes out of.
So did everybody, and everyone hated the fact that Janeway made the decision to kill off Tuvix to bring back Tuvok
and Neelix.
I
think that was okay, but it needed to have been, like, that arc could have been one of the best in Star Trek, but it was one of the things that it needed a multi-parts. It needed, like, three parts or something.
No, it needed to be, like, a season so that at
the
end of the...
Yeah, a season would be awesome.
So at the end of the season, when they have to make that decision... Or if that decision comes down to it, that then it becomes like this huge, like this, like what's the word I'm looking for?
Morality thing.
A moral choice. Then that all of a sudden becomes like, oh crap, Janeway's awful. But they do it in an episode, and they're like, everything's back to normal.
It kind of removed the impact. It did. It was a victim of the only Star Trek that was really 100% like. Well, not 100%, but the closest to 100%, like, fuck you to, like, not caring about the fact that this is a syndicated series was really DS9.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only one where it's,
and
like...
Only, like, the last three seasons.
Right.
So.
And that's why I said not 100%, but, like, it's the only one where you could, watch some episodes, and if you weren't watching all of them, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? But, like, Next Generation, you watch an episode of Next Generation, does not matter where it is. It's a self... You know, it's completely self-contained.
Yeah.
And I think... I'm hoping that Discovery... because of the way Discovery is being made, is just a complete departure from that entirely. It better be.
I've heard Discovery has kind of imploded on itself.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, and rip Hellboy 3.
Oh, yeah, that was never going to happen.
Who fucking knows, dude?
Yeah, I mean...
you never know. Shit's weird, man.
Guillermo del Toro's a weird dude.
Guillermo del Toro's the best. I want to rub his chin.
All right, so let's talk about some gaming stuff. All right, first off, Steve and I have discovered a new category on eBay. I don't know why this makes me so mad that it does.
It makes me laugh.
We have often had the complaint that people on eBay use the term...
Pro-painted.
And they use that term loosely. That is the loosest term that you could possibly throw around on the eBays. And the models are never pro-painted. I mean, anyone could technically say pro-painted. If you've sold one figure that has been painted, you can call yourself a professional.
Yes, if you've ever received money in exchange for painting a figure,
yes.
Congratulations, that makes you a professional.
Yes. And if you ever, you could see on there, there's some of the worst figures ever made.
It's like a gag.
It truly is. It's become a parody unto itself. Recently, I have discovered a new category that people have been using. I don't know if it's people in general or just this one guy, but the term is museum quality.
Top museum quality.
Top museum quality. I hope that from now on, everyone uses the term museum quality.
Yeah, I'm pro-painted is dead. Long live museum quality.
It's museum quality. And what's bad...
Wow, this is museum quality.
And the thing that makes me laugh is that anybody who's ever gone to a museum that's had a miniature diorama or anything like a history museum or anything like that, those figures are always the worst painted things in the world.
Yeah, they're not there to look like a nice painted figure. They're there to be a diorama. They're there to show you how corn is harvested.
Oh, it says here that they called it maize.
Well, look at this. It gets shucked by this machine. How cool. Yeah. Hey, if you push this button, the corn moves.
Like, I go to Cantini, which is a... I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast before. I probably have. But it's a park... That was the owner of... It used to be a big, property that this rich guy, McCormick, used to own out kind of close to where we're at. And his son served in World War I. And after McCormick died, he turned the entire place into kind of a big, open, free park for everyone. And they have a big World War I, World War II history museum on the grounds. It's very nice, and they have tanks out there that you can climb around, let the kids climb around. But inside, they have a bunch of models that are painted of, Abrams tanks and, 135th kits. And I'm like, these are all painted like shit. I could do better than this.
You should have got hired by a museum. You missed your calling to paint shitty tanks for museums.
No, if I ever got a job at a museum, you know what job I'd honestly want?
Curating the mummy exhibit, because you could fuck in there, or you could jerk off in all the corners of the pyramid and not likely get caught.
All the corners of the... I could probably do that now.
Well, I mean, yeah, but this time you're getting paid.
Oh, that's true.
See?
No, I want to be one of those guys that sits up in the windowed exhibit where the guys are just cleaning off the dinosaur bones with the Dremel. That would be my dream job. Just sitting there with the Dremel going,
I'm polishing this bone.
Just chipping off the little bit of stone and dirt. Oh God. Talk about just turning your mind off and not just listening to everybody's working for the weekend. Got a piece of my heart.
Yeah, but you know what that means?
What?
You're the first dead if there's any sort of sci-fi or horror elements in the museum.
That's true.
Because
I've seen Mimic, I know that.
Right, you'll be listening to the music and something horrible will be happening behind you. And you'll be like, want a piece of my heart? And you'll turn around and there'll be a thing. And then it'll burst into your chest and pull your heart out.
No, it'll be a mummy. And I'll be like, ah, a mummy. And then I'll touch it and it'll dissolve because it's a mummy. Oh, that was scary for a second.
It's like jerky. You ate Mobutu. I was saving that mummy. I was going to eat that mummy.
It's teriyaki.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, the idea of someone claiming to have museum quality figures is just... It goes beyond the levels of pretension, pretentiousness that anybody could possibly, and there are a lot of pretentious people in the gaming world. I'm talking in RPGs, you have the guys who are like, I've designed this campaign that's lasted for 40 years. It's in depth and has its own language.
It's my own universe. Yeah. I've invented my own language in my community.
And then I just hear, their mouth's moving, and it's like, my eyes roll back in my head. And then suddenly I fucking start mutating like the end of Akira, and I'm like,
I'm like, Steve! Joe!
Asuna! Yep. And then there's fucking space lasers.
Space lasers. And I'm riding around on that Neo. I'm riding around Neo Tokyo for some odd reason.
On that fucking sick ass motorcycle.
How does it even work?
It's fucking awesome. So, dude made one.
I know.
He's just fucking straight up made an exact replica.
I always like it when they make the exact replicas of like the Akira motorcycle or the Tron cycle, and they just don't work because they're not designed to really work.
I don't know, man. It was the exact same design, and it fucking ran.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love that. Pat B's so in love with Tron Legacy.
I love the Tron cycles. There was one for sale.
Not just the Tron cycles, but Tron Legacy in and of itself. And I'm like,
oh, I can't wait for the next one.
They're not coming out with the next one.
Are they fucking better?
They're not, because it wasn't that good of a movie.
But it made plenty of money.
It didn't really do that well.
I loved that movie.
Tron Legacy was an excellent soundtrack. How about that?
The soundtrack was fucking great.
Yeah. That's about all it really had.
I mean, the first Tron isn't like an amazing film.
No, it's like I put
Legacy on the same level as the original Tron. Like, they're both about as good as one another, and they both do the same thing. Tron is a film that has a cool soundtrack. Like, the first one had a really cool, like, pop synth, you know, very futuristic soundtrack, cool, and did really great stuff on film. Like, the effects are super cool, and it was totally new. And Legacy did that too. Legacy, as far as I know, was the first movie that had an entirely photorealistic CG person in it.
But was it museum quality?
I would say he was definitely Uncanny Valley quality. But like Clue was incredible looking. And then when you think of that, and then you see Grand Moff Tarkin in Rogue One, you're like, oh.
If it was that good, Steve, then how come they didn't make a miniatures game of it?
That doesn't count for anything. There's fucking miniatures games.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, they make miniature games out of anything.
They only make miniatures games out of the worst properties. Like, fucking, like, Harry Potter is the dumbest idea ever to make a miniatures game out of. Like, what are you fucking talking about?
It's night models, though. They're just building a game around the fact that they have these models.
They have the license.
Yeah.
We've got the license. Do it.
Yeah, there's no night model. And night models makes the worst rule sets ever. Though, for some godforsaken reason, a lot more people are playing that Batman game than should play that game.
I would just use Lego Batman.
Yeah, well, that's what I would do, too. Or I would use HeroClix, because it's way cheaper.
Oh, man, you should actually just paint up a Lego Batman, but, like, do line highlights and shit on him. Yeah. And then put him on a super realistic base, like diorama base. Yeah,
diorama base. Uh-huh. It would have to be Lego diorama base.
I am the bit.
every year,
we were the amazing quartet of Paul Stanley, Peter Chris, Gene Simmons, and the Bat. my tongue keeps getting caught in the mouth hole. It's maddening.
That's what. I saw a t-shirt of Hank with the Batman mascot, and underneath it said, "It's maddening," but with it's maddening.
That's awesome.
And I can't remember where I saw that from. I really
that's a good shirt.
Like that shirt. But no one, Venture Brothers doesn't come out enough.
Well, yeah, it's because those two guys refuse to let anyone do anything other than themselves.
Yeah, which is good, because that's what keeps the quality up.
Yeah, just the frequency is low.
Yes, incredibly low. Okay, so we talked about museum quality.
Top museum quality.
I like how you say it, like Borkins in Indiana Jones.
Top museum. Top men.
Top men. Oh, I love that movie. All right, so...
another great soundtrack.
What? Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. It's John Williams. The man has won more Oscars than Meryl Streep.
Mm. And he's really only used the same song repeatedly. And now I'll do it in G. Here's another Oscar, sir. Excellent. Put it on my shelf with the other ones.
I don't think he's nominated this year, though. He might be. I don't know.
I don't know any new movies that came out that John Williams did the soundtrack for.
The Force Awakens.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Force Awakens was last year or two years ago.
I think it's technically eligible this year.
Because okay, I know he did not do it for Rogue One.
No, he did not. That was Giacchino who usually does all of the J.J. Abrams stuff. And he didn't do it for Force Awakens, but and J.J. Abrams didn't do Rogue One. So,
I really like the soundtrack for Hateful Eight.
Yeah, that was Morricone.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a very good one. But I liked it because it actually accomplished what Tarantino was supposed to do, which is why a lot of people didn't like Hateful Eight, because they're like, this isn't a cowboy movie. I'm like, no,
Hateful Eight was fucking great. I loved that movie.
It's a Miss Marple's Hercule Poirot closed door mystery, locked room mystery. That's what that is with cowboys. Yeah,
that, I fucking loved that movie. I was very surprised by how much I enjoyed that film. Tarantino was like, I think he's hit a stride that I've really liked, because I obviously like Pulp Fiction movies, good. Reservoir Dogs is good, obviously, but like, I've never been like a huge Tarantino fan. I thought his movies are like go down in quality from Pulp Fiction. Like each movie he makes after that has gone down in quality, but from Django was a fucking, I was like, holy shit, wow, this movie's great. And then this movie, Hateful Eight, super good
too.
You
didn't like Kill Bill?
I liked Kill Bill 1.
Oh, you didn't like the second one?
Kill Bill 2 was really bad.
I like 2 better than 1 in some instances.
Yeah, but I did not like.
And Inglourious Bastards I thought was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I like Inglourious Bastards as well. I forgot about that one. I always forget that Quentin Tarantino directed that movie.
All right, so next up on our
100 Nazi scalps.
Nazis. Let's talk a little bit about what happened with Robotech Tactics.
I thought you were going to talk about chibis.
Oh, we're going to get to that. That's coming up, because I wanted to get to... we're going to talk about Adepticon in a little bit. But Robotech Tactics. Did you see about this?
Yeah, so the TLDR is the dude went on to the Kickstarter to do an update and got trolled super hard and then tried to kill himself?
Is that really what happened?
Yeah, that's...
Like, how did he get trolled? Like...
I guess the pissed off people who don't have their shit.
Oh, well.
all went ham on him.
That's not really getting trolled. That's just getting what you deserve because you have not given it.
Well, from what I understand, the guy who did the update has nothing to do with any of the. Like,
okay.
He was just like, he was collateral damage.
Oh, that's not fun then.
Yeah, like he was a designer.
Oh.
So not Kevin Sambedia or like a representative of Palladium Games in that manner. He's like he's the dude who designed
not Kevin Sambedia or a representative of Kevin Sambedia.
Yeah, he's the guy who designed the rules, and he was talking about like the Nether rule set, and they just all fucking went ham on him.
Well, I mean, shit, that's been nasty. With Kickstarter's starting to get that again. I mean, we kind of gotten away from the really bad Kickstarter returns because we've done much better. Like, I think people have gotten better with it in terms of, hey, we've given you all of, you know, this is what we say we're going to do by this time. We're going to deliver at about this date. And usually there's like a 4 to 5 month plus or minus. I mean, very rarely has it gone longer than that.
I mean, a lot of times you're just a victim of the slow boat from China.
Yeah, which is understandable. But Robotech Tactics kind of screwed
themselves.
It's
been like 2 years for some of the updates that they needed, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the... What do you think would be the last, like, really bad one? Dust? The Dust one?
Maybe the Dust one. I don't know. It's hard to keep track of the Kickstarter disasters.
There's so many.
Yeah, there really
There's
are.
So many Kickstarter disasters. The All Quiet on the Martian Front.
Well, that shipped. People got their stuff.
Yeah, it just destroyed the company.
it cost more than they made.
Yes. The Dust Tactics one was the one that was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
But poor Paulo Parente.
Paulo Puente's dust.
He just screwed himself. That's pretty much
Wasn't that one because of like him and like Gale Force 9 had a falling out or something? Or
he has a falling out with everyone. Mm. Fantasy Flight, Gale Force 9, Battlefront. They keep getting screwed out. He keeps whatever. But that's his own damn fault for designing a miniatures game around 1/35 scale miniatures. No one wants to play with 1/35 scale miniatures.
Mm.
If you're going to build a model, you're going to build it at 1/35. You're going to buy your little dragon kit, and you're like, I'm going to build this Abrams tank. And then you put it together, and you put all the little pieces on there, and you build the engine inside, and you're like, it's done! And then you put it on the shelf. And you never touch it again. Occasionally, you get your spray can out, and you dust it. That's about it. And you're like, look at this model I made! And everyone's like, Yay!
Hey, a tank.
Hey, a tank. And you put it on one of those modeling forums, and then you see someone whose tank is way better than your tank, and you're like, oh.
Or you're just like, yeah, nice tank.
Nice tank. Is that a dragon kit? No, yeah. It's a Atelieri. Yay!
Mine's Tamiya.
Mine's Tamiya. Yeah, that's the other one. Tamiya. That's my stepfather. He does that. He's got all that. It's like, at least I could play with my figures. I don't, but I could.
But think of what I could do with them.
Exactly. Yeah, as I say, it's his own damn fault. But poor guy. It's in it all over Robotech.
Yeah, man. What a shoddy excuse to try and kill yourself.
Oh! Robotech is they screwed that game up.
That's not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool concept. The miniatures are actually kind of nice.
Except they're in 72 pieces.
I would never put that together myself. Like, why did they even think that was a good idea?
Because it's Palladium, dude. They're like, Palladium is the company of questionable decisions that has somehow made it out of the 80s.
I wish that was their tagline on all of their books.
Yeah, we are the company of questionable decisions that has somehow made it out of the 80s. Because, you know, Rifts is really cool. Like, as a universe. Rifts is fucking sweet. Like, one of the best campaign settings for a game ever. The actual game, mechanics-wise, fucking unplayable.
Well, yeah, it's garbage.
It's, like, the worst. But you don't understand. It's not even garbage. It's actually just unplayable nonsense. Like, you can go back and play some old 80s games and be like, okay, this game's a little crusty. Or, like, this game's not that great. But you can play those games.
Yeah, it's
Rifts is so convoluted and so full of random bullshit. You're just like, what the fuck is happening?
I don't know.
I love Rifts though. Like, the universe is so fucking cool.
It's all right. There's people out there who do that same defense for like BattleTech, and you're like,
well, BattleTech has a fully functional, playable rule set. That's the thing. Like, Rifts' rule set is actually unplayable because like there's so many rules.
I don't know if BattleTech is really playable at this point. The amount of stuff you need to play BattleTech. I don't know if you could play it.
Sure you could. BattleTech is a long list of things, but everything's self-contained. So, like, you have your one mech that you've custom built, and there's a very long list of things you can do, but it's functional.
Okay.
Rifts has a very long list of things you can do, and you have to be like, but wait, what does this do? And this rule is really close to this one, but it says that you have to do it this way? This one doesn't even have resolution.
I mean, like, every once in a while I'll go on, like a gaming board, and it says, like, download all the BattleTech rules. And I look at it, and I'm like, this file is 16 gig. There's no way a game could have this much rules.
Yeah, it's because BattleTech went all in on the, like, every little bit of your mech can be customized, and that's what creates a ridiculous series of rules.
Ooh, look at this rule book. The left arm guide.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Like, did you go with hydraulic or pneumatic?
Oh, man! Erasing everything.
Gotta start over.
BattleTech RPG remains the only one, I believe, where your character can die before beginning the game. Because you roll for your background, and I guess one of them is you die as a kid. You have to start over and make a new character.
It's like, oh, great, my mech pilot's a paraplegic.
That can also happen.
Yeah. Well, let's get him a cart. Oh, man. Yeah, it's pretty on the ridiculous side. The other news that Steve alluded to... well, hold on a second.
So, there's nothing bad about it except for the way the tank looks. It makes the tank very cloudy and milky. Yeah. But, like, our chemical levels are all perfect. And it was really dirty, so we were doing 30% changes, like bigger changes. And I read that if your tank is in the middle of a bacterial bloom and you do big water changes, you basically reset the bloom every time. So you just kind of have to suck it up, let your tank look like shit, and do smaller water changes just once a week, just wait for it to clear up. As long as your tank levels are okay. So there
you go.
This has been Steve's Fish Corner.
Steve's Fish Corner.
Blah 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 blah.
All right. So what we were alluding to earlier is there was some big changes that happened to the Crystal Brush this year. Adepticon is about a month away. We'll probably have about one more episode before the actual day of Adepticon. And Crystal Brush has had a minor change to it, or I should say major change. They got rid of a ton of categories. They got rid of historical. They got rid of, I can't remember the other one, but the one that made one commenter very, very upset is they got rid of the chibi category.
No chibi.
And because of the protest,
it sparked a firestorm of chibi aficionados.
Yes. Definitely chibi aficionados.
Well, one of the things that the dude brought up that one of the people brought up that was pretty valid was that I guess the timing of them saying that it wasn't a category.
Yeah, it was like less than 4 months right, out, so or like, 3 months out.
So all these guys were like, "We've been working on our projects like since last year already."
My chibis! I've been working at my chibis.
Right. So having that's bad form to remove a category that close to the actual event. So as dudes, that was a very, very fair point.
So
your events for the next year should be set in stone,
like
the
day
after.
Yeah. So last year there was science fiction single, science fiction unit, science fiction vehicle monster, fantasy single, fantasy unit, fantasy vehicle monster, historical single, large scale, chibi, diorama, and bust. This year they went down.
I like bust.
They lost three categories, sci-fi single, fantasy single. They combined unit, so now it's all just one thing. Vehicles all combined. Large scale, bust, diorama, young talent. So they went with the junior category for all those really terrible models that a kid can be proud of. It's like, look at my Marnius cool guy. It's like,
and there were some fucking young bloods at the bunker who were really good.
Children.
There's a couple of them out there, man. They
should
really
be playing
good.
In my games.
They're not playing, they're painting.
Whatever.
They're dedicating their time to painting, so they'll never play.
Oh, yeah. It's like teaching a kid magic.
I'm painting well. That means you're never going to play this game. Nice Space Marine, though.
But it was the elimination of the chibi category that got people very, very upset.
My chibi dust.
Well, considering the fact that there's a couple companies that make chibi models at this point.
There's a lot of companies that are making chibi models. Like
Cool Mini has Arcadia Quest.
Yep. Soda Pop has Super Dungeon Explorer,
and that Rail Wars and the Ninja One.
And the Ninja One, yeah, they've got three. They've got three full games with chibi minis.
Impact does all of the Dungeons and Dragons chibis, which are really nice.
And My Little Pony chibis.
Sorry,
they exist. They exist,
but they're not. Well, I guess they are chibi.
Yeah,
and
they got tiny
bodies and
huge heads.
Reaper does some chibi stuff. Most of their chibi stuff is animal stuff, though, like anthropomorphic.
I didn't notice that. I haven't seen chibi versions. I've seen ones that kind of look like mouse guard guys.
Well, yeah, they do. That's what I'm saying. They do a
but
lot.
They're
of,
not chibi. They're yep. just mouse. They're just little. They're little mises with swords.
Maybe I'm thinking Dark Sword. Dark Sword is the one that does.
That could be it.
Yeah, they. Well, I mean, Dark Sword and Reaper both kind of do like that anthropomorphic thing that are very similar to chibi. Cool Mini, of course, with Arcadia Quest also has Rivet Wars that people don't play Rivet Wars anymore.
No.
That was a dumb game to begin with, and I don't understand why.
They kind of look like Duplo men.
It wasn't a bad concept. It was, I guess. I mean, for me personally, I like when Cool Mini or Not does the self-contained board game that it tries to get away from like the war game aspect of it.
Yeah.
So like Steve absolutely hates Zombicide.
But Black Plague looks really good.
Well, yeah. But you hate there's like expansions to it that keeps the game fresh. But yep. It still plays like a board game. It's
right.
Not a war game.
And there's shit tons of minis.
Yeah.
Which you can either paint or just leave.
Yeah, and what's the Rum and Bones is the other one that's the MOBA one with all the pirates and stuff like that.
Yeah, your two ships boarding action.
Which is, it's fine, though, because it's a self-contained board game. And even though Rivet Wars was kind of a self-contained board game, it was more of a...
They pushed it into too much of the, like, let's battle.
Yeah.
Let's battle our mans.
It was like, it's on a board, but if we just tweak the rules like this, it doesn't... No, I'm not going to play with my meeples and... You know, as a war... Oh, Steve. Meeple's the war game.
Perfect. Let's make it Napoleonic. There we go. We've cornered the market.
We've cornered the market. No, I guarantee...
Napoleonic?
Steve, you billion-dollar idea. Honestly, though, if we did like a fantasy-based meeple game, like a meeple war game, we would make money. We would.
Probably.
Yeah. People would buy that.
Yeah.
Because people love meeples.
Yeah, people are all about meeples.
Yeah. I don't get it, but they are.
I don't know. They're just, they're cute little generic playing pieces. So, like, I can see if your game uses meeples, getting the ones that have, like, look like little things is more fun. You know, yeah. Like if you play, I don't know, I can't think of a fucking game that uses meeples right now, even though there's a million
Carcassonne.
Of them. Yeah, Carcassonne. But if you have little meeples that look like a little knight or a princess and little peasants, like that's more fun than just the blocks.
I guess.
It's like there's a
like that
Agricola
one.
Is you know, like it's a farming
I
game.
I love me some delicious Agricola.
Delicious aggressive soda. That game is all colored blocks. Like just blocks. So it's like this black cube is a cow. Like that game would be much more fun
with an actual little cow.
Yeah, a little moo cow meeple.
A little moo cow meeple.
Yeah.
That's like that company.
A little piggy meeple.
That company that did all of the meeples that were all decorated on the front. Mm-hmm. Like, we should do that. Like, just like a box. You get a box full of meeples, and it's like, this is your army.
Make it a fantasy war game.
Oh. It could probably work. I bet you we could do that.
Yeah, I mean, you could even design little regiment trays that have little holes so you can slot in meeples, so you can push regiments of meeples around.
I like the idea of the Meepolionics. I think Meepolionics is the route to go.
Well, you still need regiments, so.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I think of Meepolionics just because the pun works.
Yeah.
Nothing else, if we can't find the pun for it, I'm not going to do it.
I see.
But I'll do Meepolionics. We'll figure that one out. We'll figure it out. But anyway, yeah. So the Crystal Brush has relented and is now allowing the chibi category for Crystal
Chibi
Brush.
Is back. Chibi's back, baby.
I think your, what was your quote on it? That it was like, it's almost as if having your I gotta think of the quote. It's almost as if having the public judge your miniature competition is a bad idea.
Yeah.
As we've said in the past, the Crystal Brush is kind of bullshit because
they factor in public judging.
Yes. That should never be the case.
Awful idea. Which means you have to paint, like, you could have your model can be perfectly technical, like 100% technical precision. But if it doesn't pop for the, like, Joe Blow judging, it was like, eh.
Joe the plumber?
Yeah. Eh, I ain't voting for that.
The people who voted for Donald Trump?
Which is why all of the minis that do well are always super splashy. Custom built, like they're
and 40K.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why they're always they hit those notes because those notes are what's popular with like the common people.
Yeah, aside from the
like a stock model painted perfectly will never win Crystal Brush.
Yeah, aside from the what you mentioned, there's also the cult of personality. So the person who follows, I'm trying to think of who's.
Oh yeah, you get fans voting for people.
Yeah, who's the big? I'm trying to think of like the.
There's Jen Haley.
Yeah, she's old school though. Natalia Melnick. Is she still one of them? I don't know.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, or Jenna Zuminich, I think, or Claudia Zuminich. That's the one I think I'm thinking of right now. She's kind of popular, but mainly because she's like, oh, cute girl painting, and she has her own painting blog, and you know, it's like, ugh, guys.
Oh, she's the one who does the lots of translucent stuff.
I think so. I have one of her books.
I thought her name was Marique. I don't know.
There's a whole little gaggle of them.
One of the professional painting ladies, her specialty is doing like translucent fabrics and like wet stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of great guys out there who do, like, I love, one of my favorite, I follow very few, like, legit painting blogs.
I follow zero.
Yeah. I'm bored at work, so I'm looking at different things. One of them I follow is this guy who goes by the name Volomir. Fantastic stuff. He always does fantasy stuff, and it's always, like, as close to stock as you can get, but he does, like, some customized work on it, and they're just gorgeous models. I love his stuff.
The last really cool minis thing that I saw was Death Corps of Krieg, maybe, or, I don't know, Imperial Guards thing, and, like, it was dudes on horses with, like, guns, but the...
Gun horses?
The effect was rain.
Ooh.
There was like rain effects on the ground, like very fucking cool looking. I was like, holy shit, like I don't even know how you could do that.
I remember back in the day, back when I thought maybe I could win an award for painting. It's a, no No. Not like legit.
No, these guys.
Crystal brush.
These guys spend a fucking year plus on these things.
On one model.
Yeah, it would drive me insane.
Yeah,
even if I had the talent, which I don't, that's still like working on one mini that long would just break me. Like I can't. Like
I'm too much of a speed painter.
I'm too much of an army painter. Like yeah. that's all I've ever done for minis is just paint lots of figures. Like that's it. Like, do you want to give me a crazy task like painting 300 guys? I can do that. Paint one guy, I'm out.
I want you to paint this one guy very, very nice.
No.
Well, I had a guy who wanted me at one point to do a commission. The commission was, I gotta tell you about this commission I'm doing right now, but this one guy, he wanted me to do a bunch of American War for Independence models, and I was like, I guess, okay, we'll try this out. I hate it, because it's all, you know, you gotta paint white, so much white, and I had painted it, and I thought I did a really good job, and he's like, this isn't the quality I want. I'm like, yeah, I can't paint your figures. Like, I'm not doing this. No, thank you. I had just had a kid at that point, too. So I was like already like, OK, I'm stressed out. I'm not going to be doing this. But my new commission is, I haven't done commissions for I probably 2 months now. It's like since my last commission, maybe three. And I thought, I'm done finally. I'm not going to do commission work anymore. Unless, you know, something interesting. Like, I'll do something interesting. But I've been doing a lot of terrain work. Like, I've been doing these really nice houses and runes and stuff like that. And this one guy, he messaged me on Facebook. And he's just like, yeah, I saw your stuff. I was wondering if you'd be able to, if you'd want to do a commission for me. I'm like, okay, well, what are you looking for? And he's like, I said, you know, I'm really out of the commission game. I don't do it too much. But, you know, how much are you looking to spend? And he goes, $400. I was like, okay, what do you want? He wanted a 156th replica, or, you know, 28 millimeter replica of Rick's Cafe from Casablanca. And I was like, okay, this is just interesting enough for me to do this.
Casablanca.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna do this just because this is interesting. If it was just like, I want you to build me a house, I'll be like, eh, nah, probably not. But this, I'm going to do this because this sounds like it could be fun.
Are you going to make a little Humphrey Bogart?
There is a Humphrey Bogart miniature from Casablanca.
Nice.
Artisan Designs in their Rick's Cafe pack has it. I did my research.
Nice.
But no, he wants me to do like the floor and like the interiors. He wants me to build a little bar for it. I'm like, okay, I can do that. That sounds like it could be fun.
He needs it for his Casablanca RPG.
I guess. Or something, but yeah. I guess he would. But it's all open, so all the interior detail has to be done. I told him the one thing I will not do is I'm not going to build little tables and chairs. I go, you got to supply those. I'll paint them for you, but I'm not building them. I don't do that crap. But aside from that, so the other gaming news, you want to go to tabletop gaming news just to do a rundown?
Sure.
We'll hit the latest of the tabletop gaming news for the end part of the episode. We've already talked for a good chunk, so I don't feel bad. Okay. Gale Force 9 previews Daleks for Turn in Time of the Daleks. Ugh. The Daleks turn in Time of the Daleks.
Ugh.
Ugh. Second edition rules for Relics available for free.
I don't even know what Relics is.
You don't know what Relics is?
Nope.
All right, let's check this out. It's for Tor Gaming. New edition of Relics. I don't know what this is. This looks stupid. Great. Don't buy it.
Take that. Take that, Tor Gaming.
WizKids previews Bioship Alpha for Attack Wing. I'm assuming it is a Star Trek ship.
Yeah. Well, WizKids has Star Trek and Fantasy Flight of Star Wars.
Yes. But what's a Bioship?
It's
the Borg. It's the Bioship Alpha. It's a powerhouse of a ship that rivals even the most powerful of the Borg.
Isn't that the one from the Liquid Dimension?
Yeah, it might be like that species
7472 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. That's stupid.
Fuck. They were just a number.
Yeah, it's Voyager, so I don't care.
They were cool.
Asmodee releases.
That one looks like Bigby.
Asmodee releases Braintopia Party Game. I'm assuming that this is like, what was that stupid brain, not brain candy?
Gooey Louie, where you pull out his boogers and one of them pops his brain out of his head? Nah, that's a fucking sweet
game.
Don't
Wake Daddy, the game of child abuse.
I want to play some competitive Gooey Louie. Oh, dude, I can't come on. I got to go to a Gooey Louie tournament.
I got a Gooey Louie tournament. No, what was that? Cranium was that dumb game.
That was a trivia game.
Yeah. A game of mental focus, flexibility, and speed is now available at your local retailer. Tactile challenge or claiming a pair of cards. Yeah, this is Cranium. This is exactly what Cranium is. Oh, Elder Sign Omens of the Deep is now available.
Elder Sign's a solid game.
WizKids previews Pulp Deadpool for HeroClix. So just another...
I was surprised that HeroClix still exists.
I'm not. It's cheap and it's easy, and they're just repainting figures at this point.
Right, which is why I'm
surprised.
How else
are we
going to
keep the economy of Sri Lanka alive?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, at this point. New Conflict 47 release is available from Warlord Games.
That's Conflict with a K.
That's Conflict with... I hate Conflict 47. I will say it on every goddamn podcast there is. Conflict 47 is a stupid concept for a stupid game.
Take that, Conflict 47.
No, take that, Clockwork Goblin. I just hate games where they're like, we have this model, let's make rules for it.
You know how I feel about the alternate history games. They're the worst.
Well, that episode got deleted.
I know. Oh, that's true. Our feelings in the alternate history games will remain a mystery.
No, it's not a mystery.
Here's the answer. I hate them.
Most of the time, I hate them as well. I like consistency. All I like is I like it to be well thought out. Conflict 47 is not well thought out. It is like, hey, let's just put a bunch of walkers in World War II and see where it goes. They did that. It was called Dust. It was sucked then. It's going to suck now when you put it in 28mm as well. And one of the first thing that really upset me about Conflict 47 is when I got the rule book for it to go through it, the model that came with it was 1/35th scale. And I got so mad because I was just like, Jesus Christ, you idiots.
The only true scale is 75mm.
75. I like 72mm. No, 1/72nd scale. That way I could play my Confident Group Germany games. New Imperial Fist Terminators from Forge World. I'm surprised they're still doing crap for Forge World.
No way, dude. That shit is fucking
infinite
sales.
But they haven't folded it into actual GW at this point.
I don't think they ever will.
No.
No, I think they like that brand distinction.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. Was there something new that happened with Workshop?
There's a bunch of new Hobbit minis from Forge World.
Yeah, but aside from that...
There's the new Age of Sigmar app update.
Oh, yeah, it's an app.
That's going to be the big... Well, I mean, it's pretty
impressive.
Yeah,
but how is it going to be... Like, what's changed with it? Is it just interface?
It's a complete overhaul from what I read, and it's...
Hopefully easier to read, because...
Right.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be easier to read, easier to use. Like, rather than being like a... They really are redesigning it to be like a tabletop companion, like something you can use next to it. There's going to be a full army builder. Huh. There's going to be a optional subscription service, which is like $1 a month or something. And that gets you all of the books, everything.
Nice.
So you don't
for 99 cents a month. That ain't too bad if you
yeah, switch. And I don't even know if it's a high. But yeah, so that's the big thing with Age of Sigmar right now.
OK. And also that the new Slambo.
Slambo.
His
thighs are so thick.
You love it.
I do love it. I think it.
With just the C.
Yeah, with three C's.
Three C's?
Yeah, he's got three C's.
Oh, three C's worth of thighs?
Yeah.
That's really hard to say, by the way. Three C's worth of thighs.
Yeah. It's like one smart fella, he felt smart. That's a hard one to say fast.
You know what? I
liked Slambo. I think that model's cool.
I think it's cool, too. I'm not arguing. It's expensive for a stupid model, but... I just put the phone down because we forgot the one major thing. The new army for Wormhole Hordes Mamalfo.
Oh, my God. What a fucking shit show. I couldn't believe when I saw that. That was...
How come we didn't lead off? I totally forgot about it, and I'm glad we're catching this at the end of this.
The best thing about it is... Malifaux started arguably
Tip
as a ripoff.
Tip of the top hat to you, sir.
Arguably as a ripoff of Privateer. The rules were definitely a ripoff.
Yes.
And now Privateer has come first full circle, they're like, we've made a Malifaux faction.
It's like when when a guy's got another guy's face in his ass, and then he's got a third guy's face in his ass, and it just kind of goes around until you get a big
circle. Like
a human centipede, yeah. I don't necessarily want to go with that. But yeah, it's like a human centipede that's eventually connected into a big circle. That's what that has become. Holy shit. And I know they were talking about like, oh, there's going to be a new faction for, what is it, Hordes? I think it is.
Yeah, it's Hordes.
Yeah. There's going to be a new faction for Hordes, a new faction for, okay, let's see what they do. And it's Malifaux.
Yeah.
100% Malifaux.
There's even like the weird looking pig dudes riding on the backs of little guys. There's the Dreamer, who's a character from fucking Malifaux. Yeah, it was...
Yeah.
Very bold.
Isn't there like a Mr. Chompy Bits or something like that?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I
remember reading
I couldn't really see
yeah.
the video through my tears of laughter.
Because it's so bad. You're just like, what in the hell are they doing?
Yeah, what a shit show.
I don't know. Definitely Privateer has shit the bed. Probably for... This is like the third shitting of the bed that they've had in recent memory.
Yeah.
Ever since the new edition, kind of, that was the big one that kind of...
That was the tip of the diarrhea spray.
Yeah, then there was like... Then they fucked it up again.
They did the reboot that basically invalidated hundreds of cards.
Then now this is like their new army that they're debuting for this. Bad. It's like, oh, oof, this game is doomed.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be another incomplete faction just like the Convergence of Cyrus. So like there's going to be some people who buy it, play it a few times, realize the army's not finished and it's garbage and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not on the good thing, but it's the complete absconding of the Malphaux that makes it funny.
Oh yeah, there's like it looks straight out of fucking Weird Miniatures.
I don't know why that Weird Miniatures just didn't offer to sell Weird Miniatures to Privateer so that they could incorporate it into the game.
Yeah.
So all the people who played Weird Miniatures could just take it over to Privateer and be fine with
it. I don't think there's a lot of people who play Weird anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying is like Malphaux should have just been like, we're done. Let's sell this IP, and then we can just make off with our money, you know, with our big dollar sign bags.
Or the novelty check.
Yeah, with the big novelty check, and be done with it. No, it's Malphaux, so it's got to be a big sack that's got a dollar sign on
very
it.
Very good.
Or the pound sign, the libs, so they can run off with it, and with their cowboy hats and monocles, or goggles, or whatever it is. The goggles.
The brass goggles.
They do nothing. But they didn't, and now Privateer is like, you know what's doing really well right now? Malphaux. Let's just use that for our thing. Yeah.
God. Yeah,
hey, Steve, I got an idea. Let's pretend to be the Privateer Press boardroom coming up with this idea for this army. So, guys, our sales are down. We've shit the bed twice in the last year. What can we do to increase sales? Go.
Fix the rules and make it a little bit more of a competitive game and admit that we kind of rushed the third edition.
No! Give me another idea.
Well, what we could do is we could finish up the releases for the Gatormen and the Miners, and we could actually create full-fleshed armies for them.
Yeah, completing all of the armies that we have is a good idea.
No! Give me another one.
Do something really stupid.
I like you. You're promoted.
Great. Let's make a Malifaux army.
Malifaux. God. Ah. Anyway, that's about it for today. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast, where Steve will show you pictures of his genitals.
They got taken down by Facebook. They were flagged as inappropriate content.
Well, yeah, they're pretty inappropriate in most sense. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. Listen to our sister podcasts. You have the Comic Book Logic podcast that comes out every other week opposite of this podcast, which is all about the comic book movies reviewed and told whether or not they are actually decent movies. Next week, we will be doing Logan, the movie about old Wolverine.
Old Man Logan.
No, not Old Man Logan, just
Logan.
Like Rambo or
Slambo?
John Slambo. Hey, yo, I'm a chaos knight. I got myself some thick thighs and I got myself a halberd. You can also listen to Play On Podcast, which is all about the Vigi games. What are you guys talking about lately, Steve?
I don't remember. We just did it yesterday. I don't remember what we talked about.
Nintendo? I bet you it's about
there was
Nintendo.
A little bit, but not too much.
Is that Zelda game out yet?
Soon.
Soon. Did you pre-order your Switch?
No. I actually have the Zelda game prepaid for on the Wii U, so I'm just going to play it on the Wii U.
But you're not getting a Switch?
I'll get one eventually, but there's not enough launch titles that I really, really want to like make me want to run out and buy one right away. Because I would need to like fight to get one right now.
Did Pat order this? Pat pre-ordered for
the
Switch.
I don't think he is. I think he missed out.
Poor Pat.
Kyle did.
All right. And then you could also listen to Weebtown, which will eventually have a second episode.
A third episode.
Oh, you guys got a third episode.
Yeah, there's a third episode coming.
Oh, that's all about all things.
And it remains a Podbean exclusive.
All things Tokionic. That's a word, right? Tokionic?
Sure. Sure.
Tokian? Tokioan? Tokioan. Or Kyoten? Kyoto?
Kyoto, Japan?
Kyotoan. All right, so Steve, until next time.
The leader of this unit is a Vargoyle. A Vargoyle makes four attacks instead of three.
Game Classy.